It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a ghost whore. Oh, I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Mercedes Kent.
Hey.
And Adam Oliensis.
Hello, hello.
Joe is out this week. On the show, Senator Al Franken resigns. And what does this mean for the future of women in the workplace? Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn says she will not go to the White House. And Fox and Friends reacts. Turbulent air and the Trump administration rolling back a regulation you might not like. And a woman reveals that she slept with multiple ghosts, not just one, multiple ghosts. But last week, we kind of had some fun with the whole sexual harassment thing.
Oh, yeah, we did.
As we're wont to do. I was suspended from my own show because allegations came out that I had sexually harassed my cat.
Well, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Were you there for that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so...
Did it involve a...
So I had, you know, they had to react to this awful news, and I had to give a not really heartfelt apology, and then we closed the show with our new song with the videos on YouTube, The 12 Days of Harassment. So we had a lot of fun with it.
Sung completely out of time by me.
Yes, but...
This is the clean part of the show?
This is the clean part of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had fun with it, but Pip wrote a blog this week. And I guess Pip was a Me Too girl, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, really? Well, we didn't know. I had not known this. So share how you've been touched.
What an opener. Well,
oh, that's how you do it?
Yeah. That was probably the wrong thing
trying
to say.
Make it hotter than it was.
Is that what touched by an angel means?
No.
No, that's what the ghost tour later on.
Oh. Yes, that's later in the show. No, when I was young, I was about 17, I was, believe it or not, listeners of the show, I was a really good girl.
They're listeners, not viewers. They can believe it.
No, but they've heard me, so they know. But this is the mature banter, you know, slutty me. But when I was 17, I was really a good girl.
I like the slutty you.
Yeah, thank you.
Most people do.
Yeah. But I worked in a diner, and it was my first job besides working for my dad, doing odd jobs, or being a babysitter, or working at... You know, help my brother with his paper route. And I didn't really know what having a job outside of working with my family was like. And I had grown up where, you know, in a nice suburb. And everybody, you know, like older men to me were like my dad's friends or my uncles or, you know, people at work or, you know, I mean, at school and stuff. So I didn't really know what grown men were really like. I mean... I didn't think...
Whoa. Don't generalize or anything, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, but I didn't...
She was inexperienced.
Yeah.
I was really inexperienced. I mean, you know, I'd seen movies and I'd read books and stuff, but I thought those were bad men. Those are, you know, that's the guy in the black hat. That's not like your normal people that you run into every day.
You thought they were district attorneys. You didn't know.
No one told me. And so it was really alarming to, you know, have old dudes looking at my body or making comments when I'm serving them food. And, you know, you're a waitress.
So when they were talking about hotcakes, you don't think it was pancakes?
I didn't think it was my hotcakes until I realized that they were kept staring while I walked away to get more syrup.
Maybe they were just trying to use telepathy.
The hotcakes are in back, not in front.
Well, now I got...
those are flapjacks in front now.
Oh, now flapjacks in front.
They used to be hotcakes, but they've aged. They're flapjacks.
I got hot cross buns and muffins in the front. I aged. I filled out.
We all do. And now you hope some people stare at you.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, could somebody just look at me up and down, really?
And not because you have toilet paper on your heel.
Stop averting your eyes, yes. And that gravy stain down the front of my shirt.
Hot, delicious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, juicy. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I was flat-chested. I had kind of a big butt. I just lost some weight. So I was like, I was a little insecure. Like this, like I said in the blog, like the guys my own age weren't giving me the time of day, but these old dudes are looking me up and down like, hey, hey, hey. And I was like, are you kidding me? These are like grandpas.
How old were they?
Well, you know, I mean, it was the range. It could have been anywhere from 30s to 70s. It was
so
like,
even 30s was skeezy to you, as what you said, 17?
Yeah, 17. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, that's old when you're 17.
Well, they're grown-ups.
Yeah, they're grown-ups. They're not supposed to be, you know, they have wives and stuff. What are they looking at me for? I was like, ew. Yeah,
unless they live in Alabama, so or really they're musicians.
You really didn't know what grown men were like.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
She was naive. She was sweet and pure.
Yeah. I was, yeah, and you know.
Not the whore we bring you every week.
He's right. It's been years.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. Thank you, Mercedes.
Well, at least it's not slut shaming.
I am not.
No, because we know it's true.
Yeah.
You have to be offended or be like embarrassed to be shamed.
Yeah.
So
it's actually slut bragging.
I'm slut bragging.
I believe it's whore bragging. Is what you're saying.
You know what? I like both of those titles. Whore bragging.
And you own both those titles.
I own it. See my shirt.
All right. Whore. So these men are leering at you, and you feel something's not right.
I feel uncomfortable, right. And you don't have the ability when you're a waitress. You don't have the ability to be like, "What are you looking at?" Because they
you're
tip
working
you.
For tips,
you're
yeah.
working for tips. You have to be nice. You have to be like.
I don't know. I think self-respect is worth $4.35.
I'm sorry.
You've never waited tables
yeah.
for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks.
Sorry, honey, but back it up and be a waitress. It's $1.30 an hour.
I was talking about your tip.
Oh, my tip?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I also you have the. The boss, my first boss,
expects you to
be nice to the
customers.
So
your boss expected you to just kind of take it. Other waitresses there were taking it, and you saw them taking
that's
it.
That's the waitress culture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it kind of is. You banter with people, and, you know.
I mean, I knew that was the Hooters culture, yeah. But I didn't know it was like the Jersey diner culture.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I've been doing this whole diner thing completely wrong.
Completely wrong,
time.
Yeah.
I should be having way more fun.
You have not been getting your tips worth.
No, and I tip well. I'm a good tipper.
And now you totally missed the timing because you can't anymore. Now, not
damn you, yeah. Trump and Weinstein and yeah. Spacey. And
you missed your window, buddy. So anyway.
It's like you can't even grope anyone anymore.
You know.
Stupid women with feelings and rights.
Feelings and rights, damn you. So, I mean, I kind of felt like, ew, those people out there that I have to go and wait on, they're unpredictable. And I already had a feeling about, like, drunk people. I was like, they're totally unpredictable.
Sure.
But, like, people that come into a diner for breakfast, you figure that they're sober. And these guys can't control themselves. I'm like, ew. So I kind of, like, clung to the other waitresses and the staff, the cooks and stuff. I thought, well, this is my team. They've got my back. And they're them out there.
So having your back, you mean the flapjacks or the...
You know what? We're getting
the
there.
The muffins. Okay.
So there was a guy that worked there. He was, you know, one of the kitchen staff. There weren't a lot. There was, like, maybe a cook, maybe two cooks when it's busy, and the dishwasher. And maybe the boss was there, and maybe he wasn't. You know, it depended on the time of day and whatever. And it was a weekday evening, and it was really slow. And the cook was like, I was young, so I couldn't tell age. Like, maybe in his late 30s, maybe early 40s. I'm not sure. But anyway, older than me. And he was just, like, a jokester and stuff. But he was like, one of us. We're a team, you know? We're all together in this. And
it's us against them.
That's how I felt. I mean, I don't think that I could have consciously, like, verbalized that, but that's how it felt. And then there was one night when it was really slow and there were hardly any customers and it was getting late, and so I started doing the chores you do to clean up and finish up the night. And
Side work.
Yeah. And I was alone in the back of the restaurant by the bread warmer, and I was taking care of that, and the dishwasher guy came out of the dishwasher thing, and he said something to me. I don't even remember. It doesn't matter. But then he, like, came up really quick and kind of crouched down a little and put his arms around my shoulders and boxed me in against the wall and kissed me, like, really hard, sloppy kiss. And I was like, what? Like, I could not imagine that was happening. I was like, that's, like, so way over the line. That's so mm-hmm. not what I want or expect. And I didn't know how to react. I didn't feel like I didn't, you know, it's like now I know what I would do. And you think that blue hoppity hop that you're sitting on is big and blue. there would have been problems. But but as a young person, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to defend myself. And
so you said in the blog it changed you. How did it change you?
Well, then I realized that you can't, I felt at the time, you can't trust any men. You never know.
So you were much more guarded. You lost your innocence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, was it worth it? Since it was only a kiss, was it worth it to now have at least be aware now of what creeps are out there? So something worse, you could not put yourself in a position where you'd be the target of somebody worse.
I understand what you're saying in the sense that now it taught me and that
I'm not saying it should have happened, but at least it happened there with a kiss as opposed to happening much worse.
Like should my first harassment have been milder?
I'm saying it's better that your first harassment was this mild as opposed to something major like a rape.
I don't really know how to answer that because it's sort of like none of it should happen.
Sitting next to her, I can see that the emotional value that has, even all these years later, that it was traumatizing for a 17-year-old. I have three daughters, so they're on either side of those ages, but it's sort of a hard question, I think, to ask a woman. Even years later, whether like that wasn't so bad. It was just
I didn't say it wasn't
no,
so
no,
bad.
No.
But I mean, the emotional value that women take from it is in that area. So it's hard. We just all got quiet and respectful as we should. And it's just a subject that's really hard to figure out how to be rational about because it's such an emotionally loaded thing, and it touches even a mild harassment per se touches the nerve that feeds all that other worse stuff.
That was a greater harassment than a Franken. It was a greater harassment than a Franken, but maybe not as bad as a Roy Moore.
Right. It was someplace in between there, but
yes.
But
still enough to get you kicked out of office, you would hope.
Right. Yes, I would
or
hope.
Elected president
well, no, but, or but, dishwasher.
It does. It brings up an interesting point because what you hear a lot about now is unwanted sexual advances.
Yeah.
Right. So let's just say historically, men have been responsible to make the sexual advance, but so there are going to be some unwanted ones. The question is, are you? I mean, for as a male, right? Are you looking for that cue that tells you, should I go a little further or should I not? And so are we just sort of on the spectrum?
Let's talk.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We're back on a very special Davin's Den. I feel like this is like an after-school special version.
I know, I was just thinking
after
that.
The debauchery of last week. So, if we have time, Mercedes has a story and Adam has a story, but I want to get to this Franken thing. So if we don't get to those stories now, maybe you want to listen to the stuff on the internet. There's always that option. But Al Franken resigned. And Pip is not happy about that either, I say.
He committed to resign. He hasn't actually resigned.
Yes, you're right. He's committed to resign at some point. But you're right. He didn't say a specific date. He did say, I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I'm leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls' campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party, Franken said. But to that point, you know your history,
yeah.
And you've been very lectury, Mr. Franken. You've
yes.
been very finger-pointy, and you know these allegations are out there. We saw the pictures.
Right.
So, you know what? Maybe you're getting a little comeuppance. Maybe you shouldn't find it ironic. Maybe you should find it go, oh, I had this coming. Maybe that's the reaction
he
should
have. I'm just surprised he didn't realize that he lived in a glass house, but we'll talk more about you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was touchy. But I forgot.
But somebody saw that?
Yeah.
But a lot of times these elites, and I don't mean that as Hollywood elites, I mean people that are privileged, they don't realize.
Yeah.
And I think Franken was guilty of that, to be honest.
We don't know yet, do we?
I think I had mentioned it before. I'll say it very quickly. I have a friend who's a comedian, dated a girl, and she said that she had been groped by a famous comedian. That comedian was Al Franken. He told her that before any of these allegations came out.
Yeah.
I think we know. Franken's a lech. I mean, I liked Franken. He's a lech. That's, you know, I got no tolerance for that. So he said, some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Well, maybe he should have said that sooner.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, every woman needs to be heard. Yes, they do. But if there's allegations that aren't true, go nuh-uh.
Yeah.
You have the nuh-uh, right?
Right.
But he didn't do that, so we just kind of assumed that every allegation was true.
Yeah.
So I think he made a mistake there. I don't think you're more guilty because you admit you've done something wrong, but I think you look kind of stupid when you just kind of take it all these weeks and then go on your way out, go, oh, by the way, they're not all true.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. You know, now that I'm leaving, I should probably say, was it me?
Just so you know.
I think he did say some stuff kind of like that.
He said he remembered it differently.
Yeah,
I think that was a polite way. He said some of the allegations are untrue. Some of them are anonymous, and it's hard to respond to an anonymous allegation.
But if you didn't do anything, it's not hard to respond to anonymous allegation. I didn't do it.
No. Every lawyer knows saying, I'm innocent, is the last thing you want to say because it's a completely unconvincing
case. You're not saying I'm
innocent.
You're saying I didn't do it.
Well, everybody in jail says I'm innocent.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So he goes, I know in my heart nothing that I've done as a senator. That's a big stipulation.
Very big.
Nothing has brought dishonor on this institution.
Right.
And there are allegations that he did grope a woman while senator as taking a picture.
Yeah.
But that's a very big distinction he's making right there. It's like the light went off. Well, if I'm running for office, maybe now I shouldn't be a lech.
Right.
And remember, the first allegation by Tweedin was when he was a comedian, a former SNL writer.
Right.
Mr. Franken stepped down one day after nearly all the Senate's Democratic women and most Democratic men, including the top two leaders, called for him to resign. Hours later, Representative Trent Franks, a Republican of Arizona, resigned after the House Ethics Committee opened an investigation into allegations of sexual harassment, a move that made him the third member of Congress to leave under a cloud of claims of sexual impropriety in 3 days. We had John Conyers. And he was the longest-serving African-American in House history. Bye-bye. GOP Representative Blake Farenthold of Texas appears to be under a little pressure to leave, and he settled an $84,000 suit against him with our money, taxpayer money.
How does that happen?
Because he's not getting the pressure. That's how it's happening.
Okay. You mean how do we pay for it?
Yeah.
Because they have a fund for this, because apparently this is doing business.
One of the operating expenses of being a congressman.
The lech fund.
They had a touchy day fund.
It's like the racist slash lech fund.
Oops.
Yeah. So we've paid $15 million over the years for these guys to be creeps. Some Democrats are upset they are forcing their own out. I believe, Adam, you're upset that Franken's being forced out.
I'm not upset that he's being forced out. I'm upset that the responsibility to due process has been abrogated.
But we're not going to have a trial on any of this stuff.
There's an ethics committee. Franken welcomed an ethics committee
investigation.
And
he should have waited.
Yeah. But clearly there's a concerted Democratic strategy to try to pressure the Republicans by having one of our own, so to speak, fall on his sword.
Two things I want to speak to that point. First of all, that never works.
Right.
That strategy never works.
No. It never works, and the Democrats can't organize themselves well enough to do
right.
it.
Second,
right.
But second, if the result is we get rid of creeps, I'm okay with it. Even if their motivation is wrong, even if they're being more politically motivated, I'm all right with getting rid of creeps.
Yeah.
Getting rid of creeps is great, but doing it as a lynch mob is not great.
Trump claimed the same thing. Trump said it was a lynch mob. I'm sure you have feelings about that, Mercedes.
I do.
Well, this would be when you would share them. She's done radio before and even has a show.
And they are.
Go on.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
well, that's honest.
I mean, because everybody here is liberal, and a lot of people, Joe felt that Trump was being lynch mobbed out.
I'm on the side of Arne Carlson, the former Republican governor of Minnesota, who said Franken shouldn't have resigned. Right? Giving over to a lynch mob, whether they're going after a person of color, whether they're going after a Democrat or a Republican, it's not the way we're supposed to do government.
I think he saves himself and his family further embarrassment. I think he knows there's a lot more out there, and if he sits for that ethics committee, it's all going to come out, and he's got to look at his wife, look her in the eyes. She's going to leave him. He's going to bring more.
Looked at the nature of the actual allegations? They're paltry. I mean, not that they're good, but
they're groping and kissy.
Woman said he grabbed her around the waist and squeezed hard twice.
That's different than grabbing her on the butt. Those allegations are out there too.
Yeah,
grab it on the butt.
If you take 10,000 pictures with someone and you put your arm around them, will there be six times?
Listen, not every allegation catch
a little boob or a little butt.
Not every allegation is the same. But what I'm saying is, I think this guy has a gropey history, and he knew it was coming.
Right, but now we'll never know. Now all we know is he got lynch mobbed.
And no, I don't feel he was lynch mobbed. Because I'll tell you what, if I was right, and I know I didn't do anything, I would face the fire. And we've seen that's the strategy. We saw it work for President Trump. You stand there, you face the fire, you deny it.
Except Trump is obviously lying.
Yeah.
And we don't
I understand that.
Franken is obviously lying.
He doesn't want you to
36
know.
36 women he worked with, Franken, have come out and written a letter in support of how he treats women. And in their decades of experience with him, they've said he's always treated us with the utmost respect. And in fact, I can't remember.
Yeah, but that doesn't work because Donald Trump has ladies that will swear that he's always been nothing but professional.
Not flunky.
You got Omarosa. You got Hope Hicks. I mean, these are quote unquote respected women. They would depends by who. They would say.
But we also have Trump on tape self-describing behavior.
And we have Frank taking pictures when the girl was sleeping with his stupid hands around her boots.
She's wearing a flak.
Listen, I'm with you.
She's wearing a flak jacket. Even if he did touch her, he's touching her.
You're fighting harder than Al Franken did. That's the problem. Well, if he's not going to stand and fight, bye-bye. Now, what happened to you, Mercedes?
What happened to me? Yes. Sexually assault?
No, with Al Franken. What happened with you and Al Franken?
God, do I have to talk about that under oath? No.
Under Adam. That's our version of sexual harassment.
Under Adam.
Under me, yeah. On top of me, preferably.
Well, look at you being Mr. Picky.
I'm old. I'm lazy.
My story?
Yeah.
Seriously? Okay.
Because you said you wanted to share it.
I do. It has nothing to do with Al Franken, though. I could intersplace Al Franken with the person.
Tell us about your sexual harassment story.
No. Okay.
So, Pip, no segues with this one?
So I've actually never, ever told the story to anyone before, but I was in a I was in an antique shop with my father, and my parents were separated, and I was probably 12 or 11 or 12.
That's very young.
I was very young.
Did you look like a 15? Not that makes it better.
No.
You look like a child.
But I must have been like developing a bit.
Right.
But
you were dressing as a kid, not as
absolutely.
A kid trying to look older.
No. I was a very innocent kid.
Okay.
I really was. So we're in this antique store, and you know how antique stores have a lot of stuff all over the place?
Yeah. It's all jumbled up.
Pip calls it Wednesday.
Yeah.
I call it my house.
So,
yeah.
Good antique store. So I'm standing in this antique shop looking at something. My dad is across the way in the antique shop looking at something else. The owner is standing behind me. And he comes up and is standing, like, right behind me. And my father is asking the owner about the price of something or the history on something. And there's all this stuff around. And this man puts his hand under my right breast. And he's cupping my right breast as he is talking to my father.
Oh, my God.
The owner of the store.
He's multitasking in the most lecherous of ways.
Absolutely. But my father couldn't see it because of all this stuff.
Can you imagine the cojones it takes to do that in front of her dad?
This guy's got
no shame.
And I'm standing there. I'm a little kid. I know this is wrong. I know this is really wrong. I don't know how to tell my dad, and I don't have that kind of relationship with my father either because my parents were, my mother was 44 when she had me and I was an only child. So they were like from a different generation. Like I
did you feel
talk
like,
about
did you feel like
them.
In some way that you were responsible
of
for this?
Of course I was responsible. It was totally, no, I mean.
No,
yes.
I'm saying in your mind.
Absolutely.
And that's a common thing. She mentioned that in her blog as well.
But,
I think that's a common thing.
And I'm looking over the stuff at my dad, realizing he has no idea what's happening, and I don't know what to do. I just totally don't know what to do.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Did you say anything? You never said anything to your dad?
Never. I've never told the story till this very second.
How long was he doing it? Like, how long was the guy?
Oh, it was like a few minutes.
I can't imagine that mindset of just thinking this is okay, and it's a child.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what's going on. You know, we're going to go this segment a little long. I think guys don't understand, and I think the pendulum is swinging. Here's how I do. I think it's getting to the point. Because you have very valid concerns and women have experienced things. But then as we were kind of talking about on the break, guys don't know where the line is anymore. Are we being friendly? Have we crossed the line? I don't think there's any definitive lines anymore. It used to be we used to have an idea of what our gender roles are and what our responsibilities. And unfortunately, that meant women took a lot more crap than they should have.
Right.
But that was kind of understood. And we kind of all were in that space.
Right.
And I think now we're seeing that's not okay. But I think what's going to happen is I think a lot of women are not going to get hired now just because guys are spooked. Like, I know you're not supposed to do that, but if I was running a company, just because I'd be so spooked, I was like, what happens if I call this woman into my office And I say, and we're just having a conversation. But she decides to say something. They're going to believe her over me.
Right. Which speaks to another sort of, this is not to minimize the point about women, but guys abuse each other, not necessarily sexually, but
like wet towels, snapping towels. And stuff.
Well, I mean, all kinds of roughness, objectifying. Trump objectifies everybody.
Little.
He
calls everybody little.
Little Marco.
Little Rocket Man.
Mr. Excitement about Jeb Bush. He objectifies and insults and harasses everybody. With women, it's sexual harassment because he's heterosexual. But the problem is in objectifying and taking advantage of and using other people as a means to an end. The problem isn't necessarily, and sexual harassment is just one variation of that underlying, in my view, that underlying problem. So men, but when men harass and objectify and abuse one another, it isn't necessarily, it can be sexual, but usually isn't sexual among heterosexual men. So it's just roughness and hierarchy building and relationship and territory establishing.
Phallus swinging. It's a lot of phallus swinging.
But that's, I mean, you know, in the animal kingdom, that's real instinctive behavior
right.
among
well,
males.
Well, also in the animal kingdom, a superior male will take what he wants and the female. And it
right.
seems like men traditionally have been very animalistic towards women and children.
Right. And yes. As a guy, I can't go, you know, you're being a little rough with me.
Sorry, Adam, right. but you got that scruff going. I couldn't resist.
You know, I'd like it if you'd be a little more vulnerable and open with me instead of abusive. You can't do that. But now women rightfully are requesting to be treated more respectfully. But the men who are doing, I suspect, the men who are doing the sexual harassment are also doing male-on-male abuse and objectification.
Interesting.
That's my take.
I don't think it's anywhere near the same amount of abuse that they're giving the men. Who they look at as their equals.
I think it's a different type of abuse. I think it's a different type of abuse. But I do think there's going to be a backlash to this, and I think you're going to start seeing a lot less women hired just until, as a society, we could figure out what's friendly, what's flirty, what's consensual, what's over the line, who we can believe, who we can't believe. Because right now, right or wrong, maybe it's right, every woman is believed and no guy is believed. Right. And if I had a company – and listen, I think we should have a woman president. I'd be happier if women were running things because I think men have had a good run in it and we're kind of screwing it up. I honestly think it. But that being said, if I was in a position to hire a man who might be less qualified at this point than a woman – I might just hire the man because I don't think the man – I don't think I'm going to get in trouble with the man. And I just don't
– On a risk assessment basis, that's
which
a rational decision.
Which I never would have done before. I would always say I'm going to hire the best qualified person.
Plus, if it was a woman, you might get laid.
Well, if it's a guy, I might get laid too.
It just comes with the
job.
Changing.
It comes with the job. Adam, please, you make another appearance on this show. You know, an appearance too is when the laying
it's
happens.
It's a slippery slope here.
Yeah, I see.
See, my fear is that women are going to start taking advantage of this, and I hope that we're – better than that.
I think some women have taken advantage.
I'm sure.
That's why
I say,
I go, you know what? I think a lot of these Trump allegations are true. I don't know if everyone's true. Same thing with Franken and Cosby. It's like, I think there's a core there. I don't think these things just get imagined.
No.
Or Bill Clinton. But I'm sure there are some piling on. And because the statute of limitations has run out, and then to the Roy Moore thing, I mean, you got this one woman who lied about the yearbook. Yes, she says he signed it, but she added things. So now it just is like, why would you do that?
Would you do that? Muddy the waters when you had a good case.
Yeah.
Did she add the date way back when or recently?
I don't know.
I thought she added it way back when because she said she did that so she would remember exactly when it was.
Either way. It ruins her story. Now, I'm not saying Roy Moore didn't do these things to these women. I'm not saying he didn't do anything to her. But, you know, if you're accused, you can go, aha. And we just don't know as a society anymore. We're never going to get these people under oath.
Women have always felt that way, though, whenever they came out with their stories. But a lot of the times, women didn't tell their stories because they were afraid they wouldn't be believed.
Right. And now the pendulum has swung.
Or they were shameful of them.
Terrible. And that's terrible. But the solution is not to create lynch mobs on the basis of accusations. So that we have to find a way to deal with it. And unfortunately, I think women, and as a guy, I don't have the moral authority to say this, but one thing that women are going to have to do is kind of take a strong wind in the face as far as standing up to the difficulty of standing behind their accusations and subjecting themselves to due process. I don't see – there's no other
– But there is no due process that can be had when the statute of limitations is running. Unless they're going to do like I've said, you're going to go before – with these famous people, you're going to go before the Congress and swear under oath what happened. You have the accusers and the accused, and maybe we get somebody on perjury because then we have to look and see what happened to see who's telling – that's the only way you're going to get anything. That's why I said put them all under oath, whether it be Trump, Franken. Listen, sure. If Trump has been accused and hasn't done anything, he should be exonerated. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either.
But I'm saying he should welcome that opportunity if he's innocent. These women should welcome the opportunity, just like Franken should be able to face all these accusers. That's why we say, well, you know, I don't have sympathy to him because he was going to go through the process and he caved. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but I'll let go of the Franken issue, but he was forced out.
All right, we'll take a break.
Is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
We are back, so we don't cover a lot of Fox and Friends.
No, I think there's a reason for that, but go ahead.
Because we just don't like good journalism, I think. I think that's the reason. But anyway. So I found this story in Fox and Friends. It involves skier Lindsey Vonn. You remember Lindsey Vonn, right?
Yeah.
Olympic skier?
Yeah.
Dated Tiger Woods. So I'll play what happened, and then we can discuss.
South Korea coming up. That's right. But here's the problem. If she wins, she's not going to the White House. She's already said that. She said she does not like Donald Trump.
Listen to what she said yesterday. I hope to represent the people of the United States. Not the president. I want to represent our country well. And I don't think there are a lot of people currently in our government that do that.
All right, she's just another celebrity, another Hollywood person who doesn't agree with the president.
The resistance
continues.
Maybe
she cares.
You know, the last part of her statement was true. There are not a lot of people in government representing us well. Maybe she watched the first 8 minutes of our program and saw that that's true. And not a lot of it has to do with President Trump.
You know, what's interesting is you think about it, her ex is Tiger Woods, who played golf with President Trump, what, a week ago?
Maybe that's how they broke up.
Anyway, Tiger Woods, no problem, apparently, playing golf with the president. But if she wins, she's not going to the White House.
Yeah, think about that. You got athletes preemptively declaring their resistance to a president as they get the honor. Think about the honor of going to the Olympics and representing, wearing the flag. It's like wearing the flag in combat, in battle. Yeah. It's a team. You're saying, well... Nope, it's just
right
up our president.
It got cut off, but the last thing the female host said, she called her un-American. So that got cut off, but that's on the clip. You know, I'm kind of torn about her not going to the White House. I get it. I wouldn't go to the White House for this guy either. And as a woman, after what he tweeted today about Kirsten Gillibrand, alluding to the fact that she's a whore. By the way, can I just say that? But whore meaning that she'll do anything for money,
yeah,
essentially?
That's what he said.
Donald Trump puts his names on buildings that he has nothing to do with for money. So right. Donald Trump's a building whore.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little ridiculous. Listen, I get it why they don't want to go. Support this guy. I don't really have an issue with that.
I didn't have an issue with if any of the German athletes didn't want to go and meet up with Hitler after those.
Well, I don't want to compare Trump to Hitler.
I do.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
Roy Moore's lawyer is in a concentration camp, I'm going to hold off on that.
No, I'm kidding. It's a very different scope. But
Hitler, better dresser.
Yeah, much more snappy.
Much better in a suit.
Right. Much better, much
neater.
More snappy.
Neater. Right.
And more graceful.
I think it brings up the question is, who is she? Is she a human being who is allowed to have an opinion, or is she a representative of the U.S.?
Well, that's what Fox News is kind of saying, that she can't have her own opinion.
Because she's an athlete.
Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Which is the same thing that a lot of the people who are criticize the kneeling, and Joe, I don't want to speak for Joe, but Joe says, well, you know, what do these guys know? They're pampered, this, that, the other thing. But no, they have an opinion, they're human beings. And also, there's a lot of sacrifice to get to that point. Like they said in this, that it's an honor to represent the United States. Yes. It's an honor, but it's a well-earned honor. They're not taking me off the couch eating Cheetos and go, you do downhill for the Olympics. You work really hard to get to that place.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, I'll present it. I think she's absolutely entitled. I have no problem with her not going. And I wouldn't have a problem with somebody who didn't like Obama not going to the White House when he was president.
Sure.
But I would say this. If I were Lindsey Vonn's position, which I'd love to be in many ways, I would.
You wanted to be Tiger Woods' ex? I don't understand.
That lapse in judgment aside.
Yeah. Where I was going.
Okay. It was not a fully formed joke. But I would like to go to the White House, meet President Trump, shake his hand, and say, sir, I respectfully share my total disagreement with all of your political positions.
But that's a very mature way to do it. But that's assuming anything gets through that dome of his.
Well, I think it would be productive for him to meet face-to-face opposition that stands strong and is respectful.
I think
as
it would
example.
Make no difference whatsoever.
It would make no difference
that
whatsoever.
It would make you feel good about what you did.
It would also mean I could talk to the media about my meeting with Trump.
It also might mean you might wind up in jail. This is a brave new world.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, it is. But I think that just because we're Americans, even if we are representing our country, one of the things about our country is we have the freedom of speech.
Right.
And as long as we have that First Amendment right, I hope we'll still have it. But as long as we have that, we're entitled to use it.
Absolutely.
I think the question becomes, is this sour grapes by the left? Because there's certainly a lot of that. Or is this because this guy is so divisive? And I think it's because he is so divisive on so many things, especially as a woman, that she would make this stand. All right, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
Let's do some turbulent air. I don't even know if we're going to argue about this one, but we'll play it.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
So the Trump administration is scrapping the proposed rule that requires airline companies and ticket agencies to be upfront about the price of, quote, optional services, such as the price of checking bags, according to the Federal Department of Transportation. The DOT, Department of Transportation, said this week it is withdrawing the proposed regulation along with a plan that forces airlines to reveal how much money they make from charging fees. The Trump administration has said that softening regulatory burdens for businesses is a top priority. Axing the proposed airline rule will have limited public benefit, an official told The Hill. In 2016, the head of Homeland Security had a bit of advice for airlines who want to shorten long waits at airport security: waive fees for checked bags. That didn't catch on. But he said, we've asked the airlines to consider possibly eliminating the checked baggage fee to encourage people to check their luggage rather than putting it on the carry-on, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said. But that's a different administration and a long time ago. But that was certainly out there. Airlines are already required to disclose the information about optional service fees on their websites, but not when passengers are buying tickets online, in person, or over the phone. For me, the baggage fee sometimes does play a role in who I fly.
Absolutely.
It's expensive.
Yeah, so it could be 25, 35, 45, 50, 75.
75, yeah.
It can be. I mean, it's why Southwest is
75? Where do they charge 75?
If it's a heavy bag, or if it's your second bag, or your third bag, it varies. And you see that online. All right, do I want to go, do I want to pay a little bit more and fly with this airline, or pay less? Like, Southwest is very attractive because they don't charge for bags.
It's like when you go online shopping and they say no shipping. It makes a difference.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, if I go to a store, I'll get it here. But if I buy it online, I have to pay for shipping. But they say no shipping. It's like no-brainer. But it's like, why are they trying so desperately hard to screw over the middle class and the consumer?
I think this is an Obama thing. I think this is nothing but an Obama. This is an Obama regulation. Right. So Trump just wants to stick to them. But I don't know how you argue you're a populist.
Yes.
Because I don't. This doesn't.
I know how you do it. Incoherently.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But I mean, where's the argument to? And I'm trying to wrap my head. How do you argue? Well, this helps the businesses. You add jobs this way, because that's always the argument when they cut regulations.
Right.
They're going to be able to add jobs. I don't see how putting on the website or when you book something, go, all right, it's going to cost you $25 a bag. I don't see how that adds.
Because adding jobs isn't the priority. The priority is deregulating. That's a principle among
right, but you still have to make I'm in a populist argument. At some level, you have to do that, unless you're going to rip off the mask. I'm screwing you.
Yeah, but 30%
done that.
30% of Americans don't know which party is for lower taxes and which party is for higher, more services.
But this isn't even a simpler argument. Listen, when you talk about taxes, people's eyes glaze over. This is real simple. Right. Trump doesn't want the airlines to have to reveal how much they charge for baggage. How do you argue that that's okay?
Really?
It's not because okay.
No, I understand
but Senator Richard Blumenthal, who is from Connecticut, he's a Democrat, and he said that it's just a slap in the face for travelers who deserve clarity when buying a ticket. I mean, you should know what your ticket costs.
I think the way Trump gets through this is nobody's covering it. I think that's what it is, and they'll just disappear and go, oh, that's the way it is.
But no, it's predicated on the idea that people are stupid, which is your
theme.
Well,
they are.
Yeah, that's your theme here, right?
That's what the show's people predicated are stupid.
Right. The tax bill. Did you see the Treasury's analysis of the tax bill? It's seven paragraphs.
Were they well-written paragraphs?
No. Oh. Poorly written, no data.
Double-spaced?
Just, no. So, to give them that, it's
a lot
seven
of emojis.
Right. But no numbers, no analysis. It's just going, yeah, it just posits the result.
Trump has marketed, go, well, this is a middle-class tax cut. That's how Trump is, and they go, okay. But what I'm saying is I don't even know how he can market this. Usually I can see, I can see what Trump's doing. It's complicated. People don't want to read details. This is easy.
Well, I think the way he would market it was to go, you know, this isn't going to cost the middle class as much as the tax cut.
Okay.
I mean, he's found that as long as he says the same lie over and over again, people will believe it. They don't do the research. They're like, oh, but they said. Oh, okay, well, then it must be true. Nobody looks back and goes, wait, he lied about that. Here's him saying 5 years ago the exact opposite. Here's him saying a month ago the exact opposite. Nobody checks that.
Well, I'm going to have to take this up with Joe. All right, we'll come back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
Amethyst Realm. I like that name, Amethyst.
That's an interesting name.
It is. Kubrick Zirconia Kingdom.
Sounds like a character in Harry Potter.
It does. A 27-year-old spiritual guidance counselor says she's had sex with at least 20 ghosts. She prefers them to men.
Oh, boy.
The first experience was 12 years ago, she said, after she and her then-fiancé moved into a new house, and she felt the presence of a strange entity. It started as an energy, then became physical, she told host Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby. There was pressure on my thighs and breath on my neck. I just always felt safe. I had sex with the ghost. Of course you did. You're there. Why not? You can feel it. It's difficult to explain. There was a weight and a weightlessness. This is BS and true. No. A physical breath and stroking and the energy as well. Realm said she had an affair with the ghost for 3 years, but that ended when her human husband came home from work and saw the shadowy shape of a man through the window.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a ghost.
I'm booing. Anyway. Since then, Realm hasn't strayed from the paranormal pond and says she's had sexual encounters with at least 20 ghosts. Now Realm wants to get pregnant by one of the ghosts.
Oh, Casper.
I've done a bit of research into phantom pregnancies, have you? She said, there's a possibility that it is a ghost in you, but people don't know how to carry it to full term. Stupid people.
I am against ghost abortion.
Ghost boy. Yeah, how many weeks until you can have a ghost board? What's the realm?
But is that pro-life or is that pro-past life? Is that pro...
You're, it's pro-past life.
Pro-death.
Pro-afterlife.
Pro-afterlife.
It's pro-afterlife. That's what it is. That's what we should call this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Ghost researcher Alexandra Holzer said, those are reported getting erotic with an apparition. Describe it as heavy, but not so hot. The people who report having sex with a ghost report feeling pressure on them and even penetration. But ghosts don't have warmth, she told the Huffington Post. When they're in the room, it's very cold environment. So how could... Anyway. However...
It's like musicians. Not so warm.
Not so warm, but quick. However, psychotherapist Tina... Hard name, said it's very possible, because I'm not giving her credit. Said that ghostly sexual encounters are actually a type of hallucination that occurs during the transition between wakefulness and sleep. Such hallucinations can be extremely vivid and bizarre and can include tactile, visual, and auditory, Redzwitz told the Mirror. Stress, anxiety, depression, and trauma can make people more prone to this form of hallucination. All right. We've covered sex with ghosts before. Believe it, Adam?
No.
Pip?
Yeah, no.
Mercedes?
Absolutely.
All right, we all think this is a line of crap.
No, this is really true.
Oh, so you do believe it?
Oh, totally.
We just all said no, and you agree.
And I said absolutely.
She does. She
absolutely believe in this.
You do believe?
Oh, yeah. Look at all this paperwork I've got in front of me. I, like, totally researched this.
And really? You found it on the internet, so we know it's true.
So it's absolutely true.
So what are you wearing? A sheet.
It's a ghost, not a Klansman. What's wrong with you?
Maybe it's the ghost of a Klansman.
Why do you think this is true?
There's a story right here about this woman who actually got pregnant by a ghost.
She thought she actually got pregnant.
No, she did get pregnant.
Get pregnant by a ghost?
Did anybody see the baby?
No, you can't see ghosts.
Well, then how do you know you're pregnant? Maybe she just had like a 12-inch sub.
It's better to poop one out like they do in the South, you know?
So it's pretty interesting because she said she had this paranormal experience and she was sleeping with this ghost. And then people were writing in and they were saying, you know, you should have a paternity test when the baby's born.
Right. Well, look, millions of people believe a teenager slept with God, so a ghost
there
is...
There you go. And then somebody else wrote in and said, you know, it would be depressing, but I would give the child away because...
Who's going to take a ghost baby?
Because...
Do you know how hard that is to adopt?
Not abortion, because even though it's a demonic child, it still deserves to live. But I would seriously consider putting it up for adoption.
You can't deliver... All right, first of all, if you're pregnant by a ghost, you wouldn't have to deliver it. They can walk through walls, they can walk through wombs. That's the first thing. Yeah. So you should be able to carry a ghost baby to term, right? You know, also, they come out when they're ready.
If you abort a ghost, it's not taking a life.
There you go. Absolutely.
It's taking a dead thing.
Yeah.
But why is it demonic? Why did we decide that this was like unfriendly ghost?
Well, D-A-E-monic. Demonically. You know,
oh, when you use like the special
spiritual
spelling?
Yeah, then it's different. Yeah.
Somebody else wrote in and said, well, where are the babies? Where are these babies? Are they born normal? Are they abnormally large?
And they are abnormally large?
Then they go on to say, I've also heard accounts of women being used as breeders for aliens. So that's a whole nother.
Okay, well, that I believe, yeah.
Sure. I mean, they've made movies about that. Yeah. No, there's no ghost pregnancies. I mean, how does a ghost shoot its load? I mean, when you're 90, it's dust. I mean, when you're dead, what is it?
Okay, so this is the deal. Okay, because I did research this. So,
out of all
so,
the things we discussed, this was the
no,
one.
No, this is my topic right here.
Oh, you didn't tell me you were bringing in a freak. Every time.
I did. It's freak understood.
Did the ghost get consent? Is this harassment? Are we on that again? Or
do ghosts have like venereal diseases?
There you go.
Now, what happens if the ghost dies of AIDS and then sleeps with you? Are you going to get AIDS too?
These are hard questions.
She did research. I want answers.
Okay,
let's go, Mercedes.
Okay, so there's an incubus, right, who is a male specter.
Phil Spector?
Which is like a ghost.
No, that's the male sex ghost.
Right. And
the
then
incubus? Okay.
So what they do is...
Sorry.
That's all we have time for.
He has his own opening music.
And then there's the succubus, which is the female. So the succubus has sex with a human being and gets the sperm from the man, the human man. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she changes into an incubus because they are bisexual and... they can change their selves.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's be realistic about this thing.
Find hard to believe.
If you're going to sleep with a ghost, I think there's only two positions. You're either on the bottom or doggy. Because I don't see how you could be on top of a ghost.
No, they're always on top.
The ghost has to be on top.
Has to be
whether
on top.
It's an incubus or a succubus?
Absolutely.
The ghost is always on top.
Maybe it's a little boring then.
Then they would only have girls.
Who cooks dinner afterwards? Like, who cooks the meal afterwards?
Who makes a sandwich?
Yeah, like who? Is there a wet spot with the ghost? These are the questions that need to be answered.
No, this is a cool spot.
Long history of this. And one of them is in German folklore, and it's apparently a hideous, it's called a truku. and a hideous, deformed dwarf who lulls nubile young women and seduces them.
Trump!
Roy Moore!
And beat you to it.
And he's responsible for unwanted pregnancies. So they feel like maybe it can be explained by...
ugly kids.
By incest and things like that. People, girls that like didn't go out of the house and they were young or they was like...
Yeah, it was a ghost.
It was a ghost.
Was the girls got in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And they have breathing holes on the top of their heads, by the way.
Right.
They have breathing holes. So they're whales. They're just small
whales.
They're
bowling balls.
Yeah, they're porpoises. Yeah. Ghosts give birth to porpoises. We've learned something. Mercedes, what's your social media?
What's my social media? Facebook.
Would you like people to follow you? Do you have a page?
Silver Screen with Mercedes on Facebook.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam Oleansis or Lohud Comedy on Facebook.
All right. Thank you, guys. There's going to be a lot of stuff that got edited out, so you'll have to... come back and listen to the whole thing. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. Like us on Facebook, Davin's Den, and always hear the whole show unedited, davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.